Good morning and welcome to What the Health between 11 and 12. And yeah, you might sound like his voice is a little bit different. My name is Jason Frost and I am here replacing Gabby Allen, who is living her best life in Mykonos currently. And I am replacing her show. My name is Jason Frost and I'm an ex-prisoner who managed to turn his life around and currently has three gyms in the south of the country. And I want to talk all things business. I want to talk health and fitness. These are the things that really inspire me to continue the journey that I'm on. And I can't wait to introduce some of today's guests. Today, we're here to talk about all things fitness, separate facts from myths, and all things health goals, nutrition. We've had some of the best guests on this show who are inspirational in their own field, talk about festivals. And a doctor who came on and talked about the nutrition in deep form, and she's from Oxford Brookes. So we have Nick, who's a CEO founder of Well Energy, which is a festival. We have Dr. Daly, lecturer in nutrition at Oxford Brookes University. And we are now going to welcome Matt Jeffries onto the show. So Matt Jeffries is an online coach who is absolutely smashing it, actually. Welcome on the show, mate.
Thank you. I think we're going to talk about...
Let's talk a bit about you. What is it? What is it you're doing? And tell the show.
Yeah, so basically, I spend my life working from my kitchen. So I move about 2 minutes from my bed to the kitchen in the morning just to work. It's all just online coaching, which has transitioned a lot recently. Like, I'd say when I first sort of got into it,
yeah.
I don't know about yourself, but when everyone kind of gets into the gym, it was very much that like gym bro attitude. Like, it was, oh, I need to do loads of bicep curls and get ready to go to Ibiza. And I just look back on it now and it was just so cringy. So to be in a place now where I'd say my coaching is completely geared around helping people understand that that is not actually what the gym is. Like that is just what people's idea of the gym is. What, when you walk into a gym, that's what the pictures on the wall are. But in reality, the gym is, and fitness and health as a whole, is just about becoming physically and mentally healthier and more positive. And that's kind of, to summarize, what I do on like a day to day now.
Yeah, nice. So talk us through, what is it, so when you first get out of bed in the morning then, so you don't just walk straight from your bed into the kitchen, you must get up. What is your fitness routine?
Yeah, so my routine, I always say this to people, I'm like, I mean, probably shouldn't say this on like radio, but if someone wanted to kidnap me, I'd be like the easiest person ever, because my routine just doesn't change. Okay. I go from being in bed, I wake up at 7:30 every day. Today, for example, where I will be going to the gym later on in the day, I'll actually get up later. I'm not a 4 a.m. ice bath kind of guy. No. I never have been. I never will be. I have warm showers in the morning. Nice. I have the same smoothie every day. That's less of like a fitness thing. That's just because I'm not a huge, in the morning, I'm horrible. Yeah. Like I don't have the energy to do anything. So if I know that I can wake up, bang a few things in a blender and drink it without having to think about it.
Of course. So what's your mission to people then? Obviously, looking at your Instagram earlier on today, obviously all you see on social media now is calorie deficit, calorie deficit, calorie deficit. What makes you stand out from everyone else? So why would I follow your page?
Yeah, so to be honest, I think obviously like calorie deficit, everyone focuses on it because that is the fundamentals of fat loss, right? But people focus way too heavily on it in terms of this is how you're actually going to achieve your results. I think that where I kind of try and separate myself is helping people understand that fitness is all relative. Like, you have someone, let's say, for example, you've got someone like me or yourself who might train for 4 years, get a bit bored and think, right, I'm going to go do some CrossFit. When you first start doing the CrossFit, you're treated as a beginner and you're told to scale everything, build that strength up. Yeah. But that's okay because you're a like fit person. Whereas overweight people join the gym and trainers are like, you're not trying hard enough if you can't jump on that box. You're not trying hard enough if you can't do the sit-ups. Like, you're not trying hard enough with your diet. But these people have got years of negative habits and people telling them they're doing things wrong. You just have to build things up as if everyone's a beginner. Like, their CrossFit might be walking.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
Building the strength up to be able to walk enough each day. Yeah. And then they can transfer that strength into basic strength training.
Yeah. And to be fair, that's one of the things I always say, you know, any type of movement, doesn't matter what it is. And we're going to go into a few of these trends in a sec, actually, what have been on. I'm not sure if you've seen them, but we'll go into them in a sec. But what I always say, if anyone can get moving, doesn't matter what it is or where you're starting from right now, this is a key fundamental part of fitness and what influencers should be doing, is getting people active. And whatever that is, whether that's doing burpees in your front room or to joining a gym, there's always that your journey is, let your journey be your journey. Don't try and put yourself in someone else's shoes and try and run before you can walk, because that's always for my own things I see in the industry, is how people always end up either failing or going back to square one. It's because they try and run before they can walk. Let's go into some of these trends, shall we? Have you seen the 12-3-30 trend on TikTok or social media?
Is that the treadmill thing?
That is the treadmill thing, yes. Yeah. So it's got nearly 2.7 million likes and it's growing fast. It's got millions and millions of views across TikTok as well. And I had a quick look at it because I actually never heard of it this morning. What do you know about it first?
I know that social media is one of those places that do you remember there was a period, I feel like, when TikTok and Reels were really first starting to blow up, where if your video was 5 seconds long, it just got rinsed and repeated. And I think this is how trends like this came through. People are like, right, if I start telling people that you can do this and just put it on the screen and repeat it, that's how they were going viral. But then people were getting confused, because what the trend is actually trying to refer to is the fat burning zone, which is just nonsense, basically. Yeah. Like, you're in a fat burning zone if you do low, steady take cardio. So people were like, right, that means that fat is going to start melting off your body. Yet technically you are burning fat as your fuel source at that point in time, just like you burn carbs if you do high intensity. But if you're doing a low intensity cardio, your body then, when you finish doing that, just stores more fat from the food you eat to replenish those fat stores. You don't lose more fat. You just burn energy in a different way. But people were very confused. So I do understand it. It was like a catchy
to me when I looked at it earlier on. It was literally a load of girls with their, always had a camera, weirdly enough, behind the treadmill on a big angle with a great ass, basically. And they were just trying to show off that booty on camera. But great trend. Look, it's getting people active. It's getting people moving. I see a lot of people jumping on it. So fair play. Next one was the 75-day hard challenge. Have you heard of this one?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, this is a choose a diet, follow it. Must complete 2 45-minute workouts a day. One of them must be outside. So if you live in the UK, that's going to be a pretty tough place to do it. You must drink a gallon of water each day and read 10 pages. I'm not sure where that's going to get you, but and you must take a progress picture each day. And some of the funny things, actually, when I was going through them, is actually watching. A lot of people succeeded, but a lot of people were like kind of laughing about their failures. Like, they got to day 5 and like, oh damn, I didn't get my progress photos. I've had to go back to day 1. And then people kind of finding it funny and was, you know, kind of motivating people to go on rather than just showing success. People are talking about their failures, which I think is always a good thing. It's like, oh, well, they failed. They went back to square one and started again. What's your thoughts on that challenge?
Yeah. Do you know what? I think it's changed a lot in recent years. Because it's quite an old challenge. When it first came out, it was very much like everyone was sharing their successes. If you didn't do it, you were a failure.
Yeah.
I do think this year was a little bit different. I'm not sure why that was, but like as a whole, I think any sort of fitness challenge is great. Obviously, the stuff, I don't actually know anyone that's tried 75 hard days got to the end. And like the people that do, I don't know, like it's a very specific type of person that is very, their life is already dedicated to doing stuff like that, or they've got something going on that they're really trying to overcome. And I think that it's just not sustainable, and it also doesn't promote sustainable habits off the back end. Even if you did complete it,
you go back like, go back to your old habits and then you end up back in square one again. Yeah. Or fall off the wagon. Yeah.
Yeah. Just like if you did something like keto or something like that, you cut stuff out for a bit, and then at the back end of it, you're probably going to want that stuff again. So you'll just go back to it.
100%. Let's go back into the nitty-gritty of your social media now. Why did you start posting social media? What was your aim at the start? Did you expect to get as big as what you have? Or tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, I actually started posting in lockdown. That was when I became a PT. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It wasn't for any other reason than I was trying to get people onto my page with the long-term view of hopefully becoming an online coach. Yeah. And then I moved to Manchester to PT in a gym. And again, like I said to you at the start, like my sort of understanding of fitness at that point in time, it was okay. I'll be completely honest. And I was honest with the people at the time, like it wasn't amazing. And then you start to work with lots of different people. And I always found myself gravitating towards people who like really wanted to use fitness to see a change in their life rather than add an inch onto their bicep. And then I started posting videos, and the first videos that were posted, I mean, the first, I think I just got over 1,000 now, but the first 600, no, maybe even 700 were just so bad. And I tried so many different things, like tried different trends, tried different things out. But in reality, it all the videos that really like I enjoy making and people seem to like are when I'm really resonating with the idea that fitness really is all relative.
Yeah, 100%. What about if someone was wanting to become an online influencer now? Obviously, the it's a saturated industry. But what isn't? That's kind of what people say about to me about opening up a gym and becoming a personal trainer. It is a very saturated industry. What makes these people stand out? What would your advice be now if someone wanted to come and do what you've done? Where would they start?
Yeah, my one biggest piece of advice to anyone, and I always say this to anyone who asks me, how do you keep making videos? Like, why do you keep making them? Is just you just have to be yourself. As you said, it's a saturated market, and there's a big element of everyone trying to be the biggest creator. Like you'll see people like the James Smiths of this world. People are always trying to be him or say things that he says. And I'll be the first to say, when I first started making content, I definitely fell into that category. And it's soul destroying because you're not actually turning up and being yourself every
No.
single day. If you're yourself and people don't buy into that, that's okay. You can sort of take that. But when people do start to buy into it, that's when you really start to think, right, okay, well, people have bought into me already. So the internal bits of the business, they already want. So you kind of have already shown people exactly what they're going to receive just by being yourself. So I think that's really where I would say start off with.
Amazing. Great bit of advice there. Listen, thanks for coming on the show today. If anyone hasn't followed you on Instagram, what is it?
It's Matt J Fit.
Obviously, keep smashing life, mate. It's been a pleasure to meet you today. And obviously, I've been looking for your social media as well. It's really inspirational what you've done so far. And yeah, we'll hopefully maybe get you back on the show another time.
Nice one, mate. Thank you. It's been great catching up.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Cheers, bye.
Bye. All right, then moving on to some of Gabby's exercise of the week. Obviously, it's going to be Jason's exercise of the week this week because I'm in the show and Gabby is living her best life in Mykonos. My exercise of the week is got to be the deadlift. And I started looking into more details about why I chose this and I wrote out some key points here. It's a huge compound exercise that will cover the majority of the body. My biggest advice would be if anyone's got lower back pain or anything like that, to obviously maybe start with dumbbells, making sure you get set up with the bar. And if you've never done it before, maybe seek advice, get a personal trainer, or even maybe, YouTube videos are just as good these days, depending on what your fitness experience is. But a huge compound exercise working all the lower parts of the body, the trapezius muscles, and those one and only big quad muscles as well, lifting it up. Moving on now to the break then. And after that, we'll be joined by CEO Nick, who is the founder of Well Energy, a festival that seems to be taking over where sobriety and other things are coming to factor now, where people aren't just going there to get absolutely steaming. I look forward to meeting you after the break.
Follow us at What the Health Show for more from Gabby. This is What the Health.
Hey!
FUBAR Radio presents.
Access all areas.
Mark from Married at First Sight UK.
See, at the wedding, you told Sean you were 26, but you're actually 36.
Yeah.
So drop in that decade. We ain't gone 1 or 2 years either side. What was going through your head when you thought, I'm going to shave off 10 years.
A 26. Third of your life.
Yeah.
It was instant reaction. As soon as anyone says to me, how old are you? I'm like 26. I just stopped counting after 26. Would I have told him? Probably not.
No. Ever?
Well, maybe when we're 80 years old and we've got the grandkids running around. And
except
like,
you wouldn't be 80 years old. You'd be 90. Yeah, you'd be 90.
I'd be 26 still. I'd be going around the corner for some more injections.
Politics Uncensored.
Joining me now, the former leader of the Labour Party, Jeremy Corbyn, MP. And there you are stood with hundreds of thousands of people at Glastonbury singing "Oh Jeremy Corbyn." What is that like?
It was quite extraordinary. It was an amazing experience, and I was very pleased we did it. We wrote, the office got very excited about Glastonbury. Every single person in the office thought it was necessary for them to be at Glastonbury.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. Yeah.
Every single one said it's really necessary for them to come.
The Dating Show.
I'm friends with a fair few exes, and I think you can be friends with an ex, but I genuinely do. But I do think that his timing is everything with that.
Well, I think it depends what you cast as a friend.
Yeah,
are you talking about you know, someone you're going to hang out with on your sofa? Like, if you've already shagged, you know, isn't that a bit weird?
I think that's a different level of friend. I think that's a different level of... You can be friends with someone. You can't be, like, best fucking friends with someone. I mean, I've got exes that I talk to about their current partners and whatever else, and they'll tell me about that sort of stuff. But I wouldn't say, oh, do you want to come over for fucking Chinese and chill on the sofa?
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio. FUBAR Radio.
Nick, the CEO, the founder of Well Energy, how are we?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Mate, I'm so good. Lovely to have you on the show. I've been looking into you and looking at your festival that you've created, which seems to be taking off. And I've actually got a description about it all here, but do you know what I wrote on my notes? I thought, let's let this man sell this festival to us the best he can. So fire away.
Yeah, awesome. So just to give you the context in terms of how it came about, prior to creating Well Energy, which I created in January 2020, Well Energy is my second founder's journey. My first founder's journey began in July 2008 when I graduated as the president of the Leeds University Law Society. And I thought, do I want a career in law? And then I thought about wearing a tie every day, going on the underground, probably hating my life. And I thought, no, thank you. So I decided to set up an events company based on my experience being president. And I thought that sounds like a much more fun journey, and let's see where it goes. And I ended up growing that from a bedroom startup to 45 employees. We initially did UK events, then we expanded into travel 2 years later. And we started sending people to places like Amsterdam, America, Thailand, Bali, Maldives, South Africa. We bought an empty warehouse in 2015 and turned it into one of the UK's coolest offices. We were doing some really, really cool and amazing things.
Mate, you sound like a very inspirational man. So obviously sobriety, this is one of the things that I'm kind of getting into now. You know, I'm probably one end of the spectrum
that's the
here.
Thing. Yeah. So after that, I had to sell that business due to COVID.
Right.
And I thought, what's my next chapter, next journey? And I was really inspired by wellness.
Yeah.
I did January 2020. And literally on day three, end up on BBC Breakfast with the founder of Vigenery talking about my experience. And it gave me a little bit of a glimpse into the wellness industry at that point. And I thought, this perception of wellness is so wrong. People think wellness is either you're a vegan or you like yoga or you're sober and you don't drink alcohol. And I'm like, this is not my version of wellness. My version of wellness is more about mindset, headspace, feeling connected, creating good vibes.
And this is a forever growing market now, isn't it? You know, one of the things I've spoke to about before was about the next generation of youth now. A lot of them are going to the gym and looking at wellness. They're not going to the pub, you know, like I was, and getting drunk every weekend. You know, a lot of them are not doing that now, and they're looking at this. So your industry now is probably about to boom.
They're prioritizing their health for sure. And for me to show that we're going to be a different to your typical wellness, and Wellenergy is a different brand in that sense, I created the five pillars of Wellenergy to represent what we're about. So pillar number one is mindfulness. Pillar number two is fitness. Pillar number three is food. Pillar number four is music. And pillar number five is laughter.
Yeah.
And each of those leads to high wellness moments. And that's what we try and champion on the day. So it's about bringing people together, promoting the five pillars and redefining wellness and making it more than just the yoga slash Pilates.
You've definitely got all this screwed together. When are the festivals? Tell the viewers when they are.
Yeah, so we're running our event in London on the 15th of June at Wimbledon Park. And we're running our first ever Manchester Wellenergy on the 6th of July at Wivenshaw Park.
And what could people expect when they turn up? You know, obviously there's a big tent, so we talk about loud music. Are we talking about the average place? You know, when I look at a festival from the outset now, for me, it's all about big tents. There's queues of people everywhere. It's chaotic. Obviously, we're not going to be expecting that. So, you know, when people first turn up at that gate, what can they expect?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're trying to be a different type of festival in that regard as well. So we ran our first ever Wellnergy last June. And some of the feedback that people came said, wow, all these activities are so great. And usually I'm too drunk at a normal festival to do it.
Yeah.
So people come for the purpose of doing activities, meeting different people. And we're going to have for our London event 10 different tents, all promoting the five different pillars through certain activities. And one stage where we're going to have people such as Fern McCann, also the Happy Pair twins.
Yeah, I've got him here. Henry Rowley, Steph you've got Williams, Alex Mitten, Fern McCann, Verity Bowditch, Tyler Saunders, and many more.
Yeah, exactly. We've got some more really exciting announcements due to come in the next couple of weeks as well.
Exciting stuff. In terms of like in your own personal, obviously, what drew you to this in the first place? Was it a personal thing that you had a problem with alcohol? What's your own personal views on this?
No, yeah, like I said, it wasn't anything to do with alcohol. I wanted to redefine wellness away from this woo-woo brand that attracted a certain type of people and make it more accessible to the mainstream. Because for me, running the travel business, which I grew from bedroom startup to 45 employees, reflecting back on that journey, I realized that when my wellness was high, the business performance was high. And it was amazing. It was great to see. And conversely, when my wellness was low, business performance was low. Yeah. And the business suffered as a result. And the two were super connected. So wellness completely leads to productivity, and ultimately it's about being the best version of yourself. So I was like, how do we redefine it, make it more accessible to people, make it more about mindset, get people in the zone, fired up, energized, excited about tomorrow? And the other motivation for it was, unfortunately, I had a depression in 2013 that lasted for 6 months, came out stronger on the other side. And again, I always spoke openly about it. And a lot of people, especially guys, don't talk about mental health. You know, we're taught as kids to be strong, not show weakness. Yeah. And for me, being vulnerable is the biggest form of strength I have, because literally it's
a powerful tool. The mind is a powerful tool, isn't it? What about like 100%. Food and stuff? Obviously, more recently, people talk about gut health. Is that something that you've now looked at and trying to improve what you're putting in your body in terms 100%. Of? Because obviously, from the outside, we can all look amazing, go to the gym, have a six pack, whatever. But what we're putting in our body has a huge effect on our mindset. Any recommendations that you give the viewers today?
Yeah, completely. So what we try and promote is, having your five a day, being healthy. The gut is the second brain, and it's super important to look after the gut. And ultimately, if we eat healthy, we feel healthy. And again, we're not saying to people, be healthy all the time. I spoke to somebody yesterday, and she said to me that her version of wellness was having a takeaway and a glass of wine at the weekend.
Yeah.
And I'm like, great, good for you. But if you do that every day, you're not going to feel well after it.
Of course.
Everything's about balance and moderation at the end of the day.
Definitely. Aspirations for the festival then, where do you see this going? Is it from year one to, let's say, in 5 years' time, where do you see this festival?
Yeah, love that question. So I spoke to a potential investor about 4 months ago.
Yeah.
And he said that he could see this becoming the Glastonbury of wellness in 5 years.
Wow.
And I'm like, I love that. Let's try and do that in 3 years.
Yeah, nice.
And we want to make wellness different. We want to make it fun. We want to make it accessible. Wellness had a bit of a reputation as well pre-COVID for being boring. If you look on our website, which is wellnergy.com or wellnergy.co.uk, you'll see it's very fun, really engaging. And also as well, I'm very inspired by big festivals like Coachella, Burning Man, the way they bring people together, the aesthetics of it, the vibe of it. And that's what we're trying to create as well. And if you look at our content, it has that kind of fun engagement.
Yeah, I checked out the page on TikTok earlier. I saw people attending the festival. Some of the things, obviously, typical festivals, and I'm so guilty for this. I've got a past of mental health, drug addiction, and everything else. And it stems from going to these festivals and taking drugs and not being able to stop and everything else. This rowdy behavior that's just taken over the nation. Do you ever see that fizzling out, or do you feel like, or do you know any statistics that it is starting to slow down? Is the wellness now taking up?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's the problem, with drugs. They make you feel great in the moment. You've got this amazing high, and then the next day you've got this biggest low, and that can last a few days, and then you've got to snap out of it. And then when you're going through that low, you're going through a terrible wellness moment.
Making bad decisions.
Yeah, making bad decisions, feeling insecure, nervous, anxious. And it's like, how do we change that mindset and get people, feeling inspired, not needing to take drugs, feeling their best version of themselves. Like 100%. You mentioned, it's all about needing alcohol. A lot of people need a drink to have Dutch courage and break the ice. How do we get people, just confident without that need? And we saw it as well. People came on their own to the first festival last June because they wanted to be part of it. They wanted to be part of the community. For us, the community is the biggest asset, and yeah, you know, making people feel connected and empowered, and yeah, and if you, and ultimately as well, community is kind of what we're trying to create, because you know we want to use Wellnergy to take on the issue of mental health, and a lot of it is caused by loneliness. You know, on the one hand, we're the most connected society we've ever been. We've got access to emails, social media, WhatsApp, whatnot, but at the same time, we are so disconnected as well with just reality.
100%. This is the world that we live in now, and these festivals just popping up everywhere. Where are you? Obviously, is it just the south of the UK that you're doing at the moment? Obviously, you've got one in Manchester as well. Are you aiming to go anywhere over the world?
Yeah, we've already had requests from people in the Netherlands that we should do a Wellnergy there. I'm half Greek, and I met a promoter in Greece a few weeks ago and said you should definitely bring Wellnergy to Greece. It'd be such an amazing place. Likewise, Spain. And my dream would be to one day do a Wellnergy in America. I can just see it flying over there. And yeah, really, really excited to make it happen one day.
If people want to find tickets, where can they find them?
So they can find tickets on our website, which is wellnergy.com.
Amazing. How much are these tickets?
So for London, our early birds are sold out. So they're currently priced at £55. And that includes entrances from 8:30 in the morning, and the activities start from 9 a.m. and they run all the way until 9 p.m. So they're getting 12 hours of entertainment. And just to put into perspective, I did a breathwork class a couple of weeks ago, and I paid £30 for a 1 hour breathwork class. So for us, £55, and they're getting 12 hours of activities. It's really good value for money. And our Manchester prices, but early birds haven't sold out just yet, so they're currently priced at £45.
Amazing. Coming away from the festival scene at the moment, obviously, you seem like a really entrepreneurial guy. You've obviously got a business set up. Young people are, obviously, this is where my thing at the moment is business and trying to educate people and become a mentor. If you had some advice of anyone trying to set up or something like this, you know, where would you start?
Yeah.
It's a tough game. It's a tough game.
Great question. Mm. Yeah, very tough. And it can be very lonely when you're running a business because you don't have a manager or a boss to tell you what to do, or a leader. Life is your biggest teacher, and all you can do is just keep reflecting and keep, you know, what can I do better? How do I keep moving forward? And just try and break through the noise. And also we are our own worst critics, and you know, we can really doubt ourselves. And I flip between being like super positive, this is going to be amazing, to having like some super low kind of, what am I doing? Like, and again, the higher you get, the bigger the drop. And sometimes when you look down, the drop can scare you. But my advice would be just keep going, believe in yourself, back yourself. Ultimately, if you believe in it, you will make it happen. And
do you believe that social media is a big? Do you believe social media is a big part of people not feeling like they're good enough or 100%. They can't do it? Yeah,
completely. Yeah. Social media leads to, you know, people look at it, it creates anxiety, it creates doubt. They look at these people who have done it, and makes me think, wow, how am I ever going to get there? And it just creates a lot of internal insecurities. And again, yeah, you know, it's not about social media. It's about reality and being in the zone. Yeah. And backing yourself.
Just being honest then, because like I am, I got these gyms. I'm doing well. I'm moving forward, but I still stand to this day that I have no idea what I'm doing. And I feel like, you know, I'm learning every day. You know, and is that something that you would agree on? Do you know exactly completely what you're doing today?
I gave a presentation last week where I had to explain my story, and I started by saying, if I was 5 years old and I was told what am I going to do when I'm older, that I was going to run a wellness festival, I'd be like, what the hell is a wellness festival?
What would you tell your younger self if you was the age that you are now and you're going back to your 10-year-old self, what would you say to yourself?
I would say, believe in yourself, keep going. When you have a setback, the mentality is either we win or we learn, which is a growth mindset. And with learning lessons, and as you build a team, tell them that when a mistake happens or an error happens, that the first time it's a learning lesson and we grow from that and we become stronger. And if it happens the second time, then it's a mistake because you should have known better. You've learned from it the first time, and learning lessons are allowed and mistakes are not. So teach people that, keep believing yourself, keep being positive, and stay in tune with reality and keep going. And when you've got it down, just remember that there's always tomorrow, and you'll feel refreshed again, recharged, and we go again.
You've been an absolute pleasure to have on the show today. You've spoke a lot of truths, and you know, it's good to talk about business as well as look at all the highs and the lows. I don't like just to talk about the highs. I think people need to understand there's lows in business as well.
There's tons of lows, and lows are what teach us. And if business is just high, how are we going to learn? You know, we need the lows to keep us in check, and that's ultimately what we learn from.
Let's shout this festival out one more time then. Tell us the dates and where it's going to be. Tell us the website, and then we're going to wrap this up.
Amazing. So the website is wellnergy.com. That's W-E-L-L-N-E-R-G-Y. And tickets are priced at £55 for London and £45 for Manchester. The date is 15th of June for London at Wimbledon Park and the 6th of July in Manchester at Wivenshaw Park.
Amazing.
And, can't wait to see you there.
Thank you. Yeah, send me an invite and I'll definitely turn up.
Yeah, 100%. Will do. Amazing.
Have a wonderful day. Keep inspiring people. And look forward to meeting you soon.
Amazing. Thanks so much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Take care, buddy. Bye-bye.
Cheers, mate. Bye.
All right, then. So next up on the show, that was a good chat, actually, before we go into the next part of the show. That was actually a really good chat. What an inspiring man. And what a festival that seems to be taking the nation by storm now. Just not about drugs, alcohol, and just being, you know, a reckless hooligan at a festival anymore. It's all about becoming the best versions of yourself mentally and physically. Moving on to the next part of the show then, we got a doctor on the show, Dr. Daly, a lecturer in nutrition at Oxford Brookes, a very, very clever human. I'm super excited to get them on the show and to talk about all things nutrition. And that'll be coming up after the break.
Keeping fitness fun. What the Health with Gabby Allen.
FUBAR Radio presents
What the Health with Gabby Allen.
Joining me now is Millie Gooch, author and founder of Sober Girl Sobriety Society. I need to know what's so bad about dating sober.
I think it's just terrifying when it's something that you're not used to, because when I was drinking and dating, you know, like, you use it to calm your nerves, you use it for confidence, you rely on it. And I think that's the one thing I realised when I stopped drinking is how much I really relied on alcohol. I was always kind of saying, you know, like, oh, I'm not dependent on it, but for my confidence I was really. But I also think there's so many benefits to it, like I used to go on so many dates when I was drinking, I'd be like, they are the one, and then I'd meet them a few weeks later sober and I'd be like, we've got nothing in common, what was going through my mind? I'd be like, oh, it was because I was drunk.
Access all areas with Bobby Norris.
Harpreet, how are you, my love?
I'm great, thank you. How are you? It looks fun in there.
I want to talk about this because obviously you met your partner on The Apprentice. When did you start to get that feeling, I'm into him and this is more than just a banter or a friendship? Because it's a close environment being on a show like that, isn't it?
I really wish I could sit here and give loads of juicy gossip that actually we used to secretly meet in the laundry room on the show, but we didn't. And when I actually last spoke with yourselves, I think it was right after I'd won, we weren't even flirting, never mind dating. First time that I thought I actually fancied him was when I watched him on TV and I watched episode one. Hang on. You know, he's actually really good looking.
Politics Uncensored with Ali Milani.
And joining me in the studio, we have Deputy Leader of the Green Party, Zach Polanski. Zach, thank you so much for joining us. How are you keeping, Zach?
I'm great, thanks for having me.
FUBAR so Radio presents.
Access you think all that's areas.
I'd love to marry the first UK.
I don't want to be a £100 bet with me. You'll get four MPs.
Well, I do everything in politics to talk about the harms of gambling, so for me to place a bet there would be pretty horrendous.
Before we had you on, we discussed with the producers as to whether I should do the bet joke. And I said I would, because I had every faith that you would answer it in the way I expect a politician of any moral standing.
We should also talk about cryptocurrency, which also is very problematic.
Rishi, if you're listening, mate, that's how you answer a betting question.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio presents
The Dating Show.
So we have got the incredible Sunita.
How does Sunita whittle down the people she wants to talk to the people she doesn't? What's your criteria?
Well, you've got to be an adult.
Okay.
That's always a good start.
Always a good start. But when I'm an adult, not just like 18, you've got to be like not young enough to be my child. You have to ideally be London-based, because I am. Yeah. Although I wouldn't mind if you got a country pad. That would be nice.
So at the minute, we're going with age and location are important.
Age and location are good.
Every Friday from 6 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
Dr. Daly, welcome to the show, FUBAR Radio, on a Tuesday morning. How are we?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for coming on to the show. From what I can see here, the Shroom Broom is officially underway. Do you want to tell the viewers exactly? Tell us, first of all, tell us a bit about you. Where's your background in? And let's go from there.
Yeah, so I'm Dr. Aisling Daly. I'm a registered nutritionist with the Association for Nutrition, and I currently work as a lecturer at in Oxford Brookes University. So I suppose just from the offset, I wouldn't claim to be an expert in mushrooms specifically, but they do fall into this kind of realm of nutrition and health and healthy eating that obviously I promote and research and work widely.
And we'll dive into all things nutrition today, obviously try and debunk some of the stuff that we hear on social media and stuff like that. What is your opinion on these myths on social media? You know, you're a specialist in your field. You're probably the person that people do need to listen to, but probably don't. What's your thoughts on these social media myths and things like that?
So kind of, there's so many things around nutrition as well on social media that they're not wrong. They're not fully incorrect, but it's almost that information is being taken from one place and saying, this is going to apply to everyone and going to help everyone. And I suppose that's the challenge of nutrition. It's not a straightforward area that we can say, this is one good thing that we've found, so everyone should eat this because it's good for us. So I don't know if you're talking about myths specific to the mushrooms or nutrition.
Well, I was going to come back onto the mushrooms in just a second. I thought we'll dive into the social media thing, because as youngsters, this is kind of what we see on social media. I work in the fitness industry myself, and you know, it's people like, well, I follow this and I haven't managed to complete it because it became overcomplicated for them. I'm somebody who believes in if people run before they can walk, it leads to failure. Is that something you agree in, or?
Yeah, and that kind of wraps it up in a nutshell. Everyone wants the quick fix. Yeah. Everyone wants the magic bullet, the thing that's going to make them fit and healthy in a hurry. And unfortunately, it comes down to boring habits, eating more fruits and vegetables, not doing anything too extremely or too excessive.
And that famous word of the calorie deficit that we probably hear day in, day out. What's your view on a calorie deficit? You know, we hear it from these social media influencers shouting the word from the rooftop. You know, it's become probably one of the biggest talked about words in the fitness industry. But what, as it from a doctor's point of view, is it just all about a calorie deficit?
I mean, in a mathematical point of view, if you want to lose weight, you need to have less calories in your body than you currently have.
Yeah.
If you want to gain weight, you need to have more calories in there. Where you get those calories from can completely vary, and can vary based on your preferences, on your needs. How you go about a calorie deficit is another thing. Like, doing more exercise is also doing a calorie deficit, because you're starting to burn more calories. So you could not change anything about your eating. And also, not everybody needs to go into a calorie deficit. We automatically think less is better. Being a smaller, lower weight, smaller body is better. And that's not always the case. We can improve our health, improve our fitness, improve our bodies without changing our weight. So we can improve our diet quality without going into a calorie deficit. And we can, you know, improve our cholesterol, improve our blood pressure, and never make any changes to our weight. So I think a calorie deficit often gets marked as the one thing that we need to work towards.
Yeah, the one and only thing, right?
From a mathematical perspective, it's easy in inverted commas to work out, but it's very difficult for people to actually do and maintain. And we don't have the same needs every single day. So our calorie needs on a Monday might be different from a Sunday, from a Tuesday. So it's hard to always be specifically accurate with the calculations that we use.
Well above my pay grade, this, but you know, this is something that we hope we could talk about, is the menopause in the females. And you know, I have a lot of clients at the gyms that I own, and a lot of the 45, 50 moving up is going through this stage in the life. Have you got any advice for these people? Because you know, as a personal trainer, to what I am, you know, this is above my pay grade, really, from what I should be advising and teaching my clients.
We don't. when hormones get involved, it's very tricky. And that's, again, comes down to a big challenge with the calorie deficit that you talked about. Most of the research and the calculations are largely based on males who have fewer hormonal changes going on. So not all the same things work in women as they do in males. And then at women at the older menopause age, there's a lot of hormonal changes happening, which have huge impacts on your fat metabolism, your energy metabolism. So it's ultimately finding ways that you can do something to fit a healthy habit into your lifestyle, not overly focusing on the weight, but saying, okay, do you feel like you're getting fitter, getting stronger, feeling less stressed, you know, being able to manage your life a bit more. That if we don't just focus on the weight management, if we can find the other wins and the other benefits from the exercise, from the healthy eating, then we're always winning and we're always improving, even if the numbers on the scales aren't budging.
Amazing. Let's talk about mushrooms. from one extreme to the other here. Mushrooms, tell us about them. From functional mushrooms, and how are they regular to different mushrooms? Because, you know, the mushrooms that I was taught growing up are very different to what's on the market now. Far away.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, the functional mushrooms is almost putting another word in front of the word mushroom. So usually a regular mushroom is a functional mushroom. We're eating it, we're getting benefits from it, we're getting nutrients from it. I suppose it's more the difference between a functional mushroom and kind of a psychoactive mushroom or a magic mushroom would be more of the distinction.
Yeah.
Although the lines are kind of blurring there as well. So ultimately, a functional anything is something that does something for your body, which all mushrooms will do in some shape or form.
Mushroom coffee seems to be in a demand right now. How do these compare to normal coffee? I've actually, after 35 years of being on this planet, I've only just started drinking, but I'm not sure I'm ready to start taking mushroom coffee just yet. Is it a different taste?
It's a really interesting one. And again, I'm not an expert in mushrooms, but I've been looking into these products quite a bit lately. And there's a big variety of them. There's not a ton of research to support major benefits of mushrooms in these kind of supplement or coffee forms. Any of the information that we have comes from ultimately eating mushrooms, which no one's going to argue with. Mushrooms are a vegetable. We want more people to eat vegetables. They do have like specific nutrients that they're good for. When we kind of grind them down, dehydrate them, put them into coffees, first of all, how much is in the coffee? We don't know if that's doing anything in particular. A lot of the benefits from some of these mushroom coffees are probably coming from the reduction in caffeine that you're getting rather than the additional benefits of the mushroom powders that are being added in. Lots of people react differently to caffeine. Everyone gets some sort of a kind of a buzz from it, which is a lot of the reason why people drink coffee. But some people can be kind of hyper reactors or hypersensitive to caffeine. So they can get overly anxious, jittery, heart palpitations, even from small amounts of coffee. So a lot of the benefits of these mushroom coffees relate to things like feeling less stressed, less anxious, more calm. And that could be coming from removing some of the caffeine from the coffee rather than the adding of the mushrooms. Now, I will also say that there may be some specific biological aspects to the mushrooms that we're adding into it. But when we're basing things off what we know from the research and evidence, we simply don't know right now. And we don't know the amount that's going into those coffees. So yeah, I do think a lot of it could be simply the removal of the caffeine.
Any health risks will come down from these coffees yet, or is it fairly safe for anyone to go out there and try? Should people avoid it?
Coffees. I mean, if you're taking them in kind of high dose supplements or even like the kind of dehydrated or raw mushrooms, you may have an allergy to them. If we move into the like psychoactive magic mushroom realm, there's a lot of kind of nausea, vomiting concerns there. In the coffee sense, I doubt there's much of a health concern really, unless you're allergic to mushrooms. It may be beneficial because you may be hypersensitive to caffeine and coffee, so it could be beneficial there. But I suppose the one caveat is that they tend to be a little bit more expensive as well, so it may not be a direct physical health benefit or risk. But if you don't need them and they're outside your budget, it may be pressure that way.
If people want to find you on social media, is there anywhere they can find you? And where have you done any talks about this on other podcasts before? Is it a growing trend right now?
I haven't been crazy active on social media. I am on Twitter, @Ash_Daily or Brooks Nutrition Twitter page. I do have some Instagram, but again, I haven't been very active in the last couple of years. I have spoken a little bit on the same topic on a Sliced Bread podcast.
Yeah, so I was literally coming on to that. That was my next thing to go on about, a Sliced Bread podcast. Tell us about this.
Yeah, so it's just another podcast through BBC Sounds. They kind of reached out looking for kind of nutrition insights into these mushroom coffees. So I went on it from this perspective of a nutritionist, would we recommend them? And they also had a kind of a mushroom expert on it as well, discussing the kind of more the sciencey side behind it.
Yeah.
We ultimately came to the same conclusion. There could be potential benefits. Right now, we don't know the specific benefits. If definitely encourage people to eat more mushrooms, eat more vegetables, even eat more. Lots of like fungal mushroom products are being used as meat alternatives, which are really beneficial, still quite high in protein.
And where can people find these mushrooms? Are they available in the local Holland & Barrett store? Is it more of an online thing?
I'm not fully sure. So general mushrooms, I mean, your supermarket, there tends to be quite a lot of range there. If you have local farmers markets, they might have some more, or some of the kind of Asian supermarkets might have some of the more different mushroom brands. In terms of the coffees and supplements, I guess the health food stores, I wouldn't majorly be pushing or promoting them from my standpoint in that sense, but I would definitely encourage people to eat more mushrooms if they don't dislike the texture.
And if there's a certain, obviously, for someone who doesn't know anything about these mushrooms, if there was something that I was to go and get today and you would like to try, what would be your first, if you're recommending one for people to go and try today, what is that mushroom?
Oh God, I wouldn't be able to tell you.
No.
I would just bunch mushrooms all in together. You see, there's different strands, there's different strains. If we're talking about the kind of ones that are being researched a little bit more, would be those kind of lion's mane, chaga. I've never seen those in a supermarket, but you can see them in the supplement forms. But you have your general shiitake, your button mushrooms, your flat mushrooms, and any mushrooms are going to have a lot of benefits from the fact that they're a plant and they're amazing, a vegetable.
Well, for all things mushrooms, it's definitely been a lovely conversation. Dr. Zeli, thank you for coming on the show today and talking everything about mushrooms. And I should certainly give them a go probably in the next few years, actually. Now I've just started my coffee drinking. I'll probably wait a little bit before I jump onto the old mushroom hype. But listen, pleasure having you on the show today and continue the journey.
Great. Thanks very much.
Thank you. All right, then. That was an interesting conversation about mushrooms there. Now it's time to answer some of your fitness questions. And if you want to get involved, you can DM us at What The Health Show on Instagram. And we're going to go into some of the questions that we've received today. And I think it's from Finn, actually. So Finn asks, my friend has undergone a massive transformation in the last couple of months, which I think is down to steroids. But I felt scared to ask him directly, how should I approach the topic and are they really bad for you? Now, it's a great question, Finn, actually, because I've actually got a really, I've got a 10-year background in steroids from addiction of it myself from back in the day. And I can certainly say that anything that's not meant to be in your body is not good for you. That's a fact. The knock-on effect from what these steroids done to my life can have a really bad impact on people. And I do think it's something that you should be able to approach, your partner or friend and have a conversation with them. You know, the negative effects of steroids on people's lives are a huge, huge problem. But unfortunately, people do get wrapped up in a bubble of, I've got a six pack, I look amazing now. You know, the outside is looking good, but the inside is not looking good. And the mental health aspects this may lead to, in my own personal opinion, led me to be in serious, serious problems in my own mental life and resulted to me end up being in prison. So that's a great question. Jenna has asked if I want to... I had a personal trainer. I feel like he's really harsh on me. It's making me dread going to sessions and I know he'll be really critical. Should I say something? I believe that there is a personal trainer out there for everyone. And if your personal trainer is not right for you, then it might be worth a change. I personally am quite an aggressive trainer in the way I teach and talk to clients during my sessions. And I understand that isn't for everyone. And I've learned to deal with that now, rather than if someone, you know, doesn't want to stay with me for a long period of time. I used to get the hump and go, why are they leaving me? You can't please everyone and you can't like everyone. You may have made a right wrong choice in life, and we all make wrong choices in life sometimes, but you know, picking a wrong personal trainer is definitely not a wrong thing. You just need to find someone who's maybe a little bit more up your street, but being pushed in the gym, remember, that is what you're there for, that is what you paid for, and that is what the service they're giving you. But if they're making you feel a little bit, taking it a little bit too far, maybe mention it, or maybe just sign up to another one. Like I said earlier in the show, this is a very saturated industry. There is lots and lots of personal trainers out there. Make sure you pick the right one before you start. Moving on to Carrie. I have started going to the gym and I'm really enjoying the training with weights, but I don't feel confident enough to start using the squat racks. Do you have any advice? And again, if you don't feel like you can go anywhere near the kit, not just the squat racks, any piece of kit in the gym, then my advice really would be maybe get a personal trainer, you know, and I understand that a lot of people can't afford that, or look into some kind of group training, or maybe look to see if your friend is going. Have you got a friend who knows what they're doing in the gym a little bit more than you? Have someone else got a little bit more confidence? And I always think that the gym is actually a very, very friendly place. I know it might seem daunting sometimes, but I think maybe sometimes just going up to the staff and asking them, would you show me how to use the squat rack? Would you show me how to use the machines? I don't think anyone would ever, ever say no. So that would be where, you know, that's definitely where I would go. To that front desk. A lot of gyms have inductions these days, and you can definitely get advice while in the gym. Rounding up the show time, guys. It's been a pleasure. You know, it was a rocky start at the start, but we definitely got underway. We've talked all things mushrooms. We have debunked some of the fitness things in the game. We have talked about business. We have talked about festivals. And it's been a pleasure. You know, my first ever time. Actually, some of the guys in the show actually don't even know this, but actually before my days of being in crime and in trouble, my first job, which was actually going to be a career, was actually at a radio station, and it was looking likely I was going to start doing radio work at this radio station moving forward, but ended up in a lot of trouble with my life and ended up sadly not doing that. So it feels a bit of a 360 turn to really get back in the studio and give it another crack. If you haven't already done it, download the app. You can listen each week on there. It's FUBAR Radio, and also on Instagram it is What the Health Show, and that can be found on social media platforms. Obviously Gabby wasn't here today because she is living her best life in Mykonos right now, and I'm very jealous because it is my favorite country, and she sent me a picture earlier with her laying next to the pool, and my reply was, have you ever been blocked before? And she sent back a laughing face. Also, the show will be available to listen back on all good podcasting platforms. It's been an absolute pleasure to be on this morning. And thanks to everyone at FUBAR Radio for having me on. Until next time, adios. And I look forward to seeing you guys on social media at The Brighton Coach if you want to follow me. Have a good day.